Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome to the third innings. My name is Maxwell Charlesworth, and alongside me is my co-host and good friend, Prasuk Jain. How are you going, mate?
Not bad. Enjoying the sun, enjoying the weekend. Looking forward to a lot of cricket. How about yourself?
Also, not bad, not bad, not bad. Money, mate. Money, money, money. It makes the world go round. It makes cricket go round. And nowadays, there's plenty of it for a couple people. Every year, those people are seemingly chosen randomly out of a hat in a dark room filled with paddles and some bloke with an excessively posh accent reading out names he knows nothing about. Perhaps you could enlighten him. For example, who's Shah Rukh Khan? And why were Punjab Kings willing to pay $700,000 for him, 5.2 crore?
Well, he's someone named after a Bollywood celebrity. He's a 6'6" tall batsman from Tamil Nadu. Big boy. He has shown a lot of promise at different stages of his career, but hasn't really made it to the top level yet. He has been in and out of form, and that's why he couldn't really cash in on any team so far. But he has a big hitter, and he had eyes on him from a lot of franchises this IPL auction. And he's someone, I think, who can do a Yusuf Pathan that we have seen in the previous IPL editions, and he can be worth that money. I'm very curious to see him play.
Well, the big question is he worth that kind of money?
As I said, he can do that. He can play the role that Yusuf Pathan played. And if he can play that, if he can bowl a bit of off-spin as well, and if he can provide that big hitting ability, I think he is worth that much of money. But again, we haven't really seen much of him, so I'm very curious to see how he performs, and especially with the price tag pressure that he has now. Very curious.
There's another name going around that jumped at me at the IPL auction. Chetan Sakaria. Do you know anything about him?
Well, he's a left-arm pacer who comes from Saurashtra, and that's a place that has produced quite a few cricketers in the past. He comes from a very humble family. He didn't even have enough money to buy a pair of shoes when he started bowling. And now he gets sold in the IPL for this kind of money. Very happy for him. Very, very happy for him. And looking forward to seeing him play. As I said, for Shah Rukh Khan as well, haven't really seen much of him. But that's why looking forward to seeing him play at this level. And then hopefully he can make it to the Indian team as well.
Overpaid? Underpaid? Just right?
I think he deserves it. But talking about overpaid, what do you think? Was there anyone in this auction that was overpaid for you?
It's pretty simple for me, and I'll see if you can get it. Guess. Mm-hmm. He's a big boy, hits the deck hard, and he's named after a whiskey.
Is it Jamie's son?
It is actually Jamie's son. Not Jamie's son, but Jameson. Kyle Jameson. I don't understand how a team's management is willing to shell out over $2 million for a player who has only really played New Zealand's Super Smash, besides a few international T20s. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a good player. He's shown that in the test arena. He's just so untested for really what is the most competitive, most testing T20 franchise in the world. And with such a large jump between the Super Smash and the IPL, which, let's face it, is probably one of the weakest G20 leagues in the world, I just don't see him being a tournament-winning player. And at $2 million, that's what you're looking for that kind of money, a tournament-winning player. But hey, that's RCB. I guess that's what you get when you follow RCB. What about you, mate? Any price tags that ruffled your feathers?
Well, I have one, and he has the same name as the guy sitting next to me right now. Any guesses?
Glenn.
Maxwell. He was sold for just under $2 million. And as you said, for that kind of a money, you need someone who is a tournament winner, not a match winner. Not one match winner, I mean. Although he said he would thrive with his idol AB de Villiers at RCB, he has had terrible last year's IPL.
He averaged about 10, didn't he? Something like that.
Even that seems higher. He didn't really have a bad BBL. He averaged pretty good with an average of 32 and a strike rate of 144. But He could only manage 4 runs in the 2 games against New Zealand currently, in the current series. We know he can win matches. We know he can turn things around. But investing that much money in a player who might win a game for you doesn't seem to be justified to me. Especially when there are other players who are unsold. So that didn't...
Well, it's that Maxwell conundrum, you know. You know he's talented. You can see how talented he is when he's on. But this is why he got dropped recently, about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, from the Australian ODI side, is because of his inconsistency. He can go 10 games from time to time without a score above 20. But in that one game where he gets going, he will hit you a 90 or 35 balls. Exactly. You know, he is a beast when he gets going. But when... when he's not going, it's really hit or miss, and often he misses. Now, well, obviously not everyone goes for comparatively big money in this IPL. Last I checked, Marxism isn't IPL's main sponsor. But unless they made tires, then they might become the main sponsor of the IPL. Who do you think teams picked out of the bargain bin this year?
I have 2 players for that. I have, the first one is Jimmy Neesham. He was sold for 70k. That's a steal. He's a good all-rounder. He can fill in that gap with your middle-order batting, as well as that 1 or 2 overs that you need when some of your main bowlers are under the hammer. He is also a brilliant fielder. We have seen that in the past, and in T20 especially catches winning matches, so he can really be handy in any team. The other one is Umesh Yadav for me. He was sold for about 138k, which is not that less, but a player with such an experience and an Indian player, so you don't really have to be pressurized to balance your overseas quota. I think he's a steal. He was a steal by Delhi Capitals, and I hope he has a good tournament and he gets his.
Yeah, on Jimmy Neesham there, he's one of those players that's really handy for a 5-ball 20. Coming in at number 7, really just putting that finishing touch on the end of an innings. So if that team's already got a pretty solid batting lineup, he's going to bring them to that next level. So those really 220, maybe 230 plus scores. And yeah, as you said, with the bowling, 1 for 18 off 2, something like that. I think that's what a lot of teams need, really.
But what about you? Do you think anyone was underpaid in your opinion?
Well, for my underpaid, I've chosen someone that I was very disappointed to find out isn't a member of the Slavic Cricket Brethren, the SCB. The number one ranked T20 batsman in the world, a certain Dawid Malan. To really tell this story, it's number time. Just straight to the facts. An international T20 average of 53.4.
Wow.
With a strike rate of 149.7. 100, 950s. One of which are 99 not out against South Africa. A domestic T20 average of 33.2, a strike rate of 128.6. A further 400s and 26 50s when you take it to the domestic level. In layman's terms, he is a beast. You know how much he went for?
No.
$206,000. What is the emergency number for India? I need to report a robbery. This is ridiculous.
100.
It's 100. Okay, I'm going to make this call after the podcast. Full credit to Punjab Kings. At his base price of 1.5 crore, that is a steal. The only hang-up on him maybe is ability or lack thereof against spin. In the 16 times he's been dismissed in international T20s, 10 of those were affected by spin and 2 of those were runouts. So 4 against pace, 10 against spin, 2 runouts in there. Not the best, especially when you're in India, but if you look at that average, 53.4 of a strike rate, 149.7, if he cashes in on those seamers, he can bat. And I honestly think he can bat anywhere in the order. You know, he's one of those really versatile players. Obviously, there's also a bit of heartbreak in the IPL auction. People's dreams not coming true. And it has happened to some people. Who do you think was unlucky not to get picked up this year?
I have a few. I have Finch, Guptill and Lamishane. I wouldn't say Finch was unlucky based on his performances, but we all have seen him, how he bats in the T20s, and he is again a match winner. And he could have gone for an underpaid price tag, but having him seeing unsold is a bit heartbreaking, is a bit strange. Again, Martin Guptill, we have seen everything from him. Yeah, I think his last score in the current season was 97. He was the man of the match, and he has won so many games for New Zealand, and he has a double century as well in ODIs. And
he's a power player.
Exactly, and having such an opener in any team, it's massive.
Even that combination of having Finch and Guptill opening the batting, that would be brilliant for most teams in the comp.
And the third one is Lamy Shane. I believe you're going to go through in detail, but I just love his bowling, and seeing him get unpicked is the most heartbreaking for me. Another name to mention here is Chiteshwar Pujara. He was lucky to get picked finally after 7 years. I'm very, very happy to have him, to see him in the IPL.
As was everyone in the IPL auction. Everyone ran of applause when he got picked.
Exactly. Although he was picked up for a very low price, but I'm happy to see him get this chance. He is very excited as well and looking forward.
I don't think he'd be complaining for 70,000 stars. I believe they get paid even if they don't play. Yeah. I mean, so 70 grand for sitting on the bench. I don't see him playing many games.
And getting picked after 7 years, he's already happy because he always showed the desire to play the white ball game.
Mm. I don't see CSK playing Pujara and Dhoni in the same side.
Well, CSK have had a record of playing batsmen who don't really have a very huge strike rate. So they more rely on people who can build the innings stably. And Pujara is someone like that. He wouldn't have a strike rate of 170, but he wouldn't give away his wicket very cheaply. And he's someone you can rely on. So I wouldn't be surprised if CSK actually plays him. Might not every game, but I see him playing a lot of games. But what about you? Who do you think was unlucky on you?
Well, I've got three opening bats and two spinners on that list of people who are unlucky. Finch, who, like you said, had a terrible season last year, had a poor BBL, and that poor run of form was extended into this New Zealand T20 series as well. Then I've also got Hales and Roy, two really dynamic, brilliant openers who are just unlucky to miss out. Then I've got Adil Rashid, who, very good bowler. Quality bowler, but the problem with that is India has a bunch of quality domestic bowlers who they can use, maybe even around the same skill level of an Adil Rashid, who they don't have to take up one of those overseas slots for. And in a similar respect, Sandeep Lamashane. I love Sandeep Lamashane. He is a brilliant, brilliant bowler. Love watching him turn out for the Hobart Hurricanes in this year BBL after being dropped by the Melbourne Stars. Not as effective as he was in the beginning of his career. People are starting to pick him out a bit more, but people are starting to pick out most spinners in T20 cricket now a bit more. The Nepali only played 5 games in 2019, the last year he played IPL. But in 2 of those games, he took 2 or more wickets. I see that as a baseline of being a good bowler. Taking 2 wickets, taking 1, you had an average game. Taking 2, you made a real impact on the game. You got out a fifth of the wickets that you need, you know. He took 2 for 27 and 3 for 40, both against Punjab Kings, and went wicketless only once in that stint for the Delhi Capitals. His base price was $54,000. That's nothing. That's nothing. It's like a new Volvo XCR, whatever they are, you know. You buy a family car for that.
Especially when you're shelling out
$2 million What could you buy? You could buy 40, am I correct, with that money? You could buy 40 Sandeep Lamashanes for the price of 1 Glenn Maxwell? Yeah. It's a terrible conversion rate. It's ridiculous. Well, now, we shift our focus to one of the more popular leagues around the world. It might even be the most popular. The Sheffield Shield. For those that don't know, the Shield is the Australian equivalent of the Ranji Trophy and the County Championship, etc., etc. That kind of thing. It's the first class competition in Australia. It's been split up into 2 halves, one before the Christmas / Big Bash break. So it starts around November, runs into the beginning of December, pause for the Big Bash, start again around last week. We are 4 games into the second half of the season. So far, we have seen New South Wales lose to Victoria, Queensland come up over Tasmania, and Western Australia and South Australia are locked in an intense last-day battle that recommences tomorrow after a sporting declaration from behind by Captain Sean Marsh of Western Australia. And we'll probably see New South Wales beating Victoria in their rematch after losing to them last week.
Interesting.
So, Prasuki, what if I told you that there is a mature, early to mid-30s batsman in Australian cricket who has 30 first-class tons, 30, 330 tons, 8 of those in test matches, a test average of 40.6, and a first-class average of 42.5, and an average of 96.8 opening the batting in test matches. What would you say to that?
Can I make him change his nationality?
What would you like? What would you like him to be? You've already got Prithvi Shaw, mate.
This batsman seems like the perfect fit for the test side, and especially a side like Australia with all their chopping and changing and the injury concerns at club. But what's wrong?
Exactly. Prakovsky's injured. Slavic Cricket Brevin member, he's injured. Warner, he said it could take up to 9 months for his groin to be back to fully fit. Meanwhile, the forgotten man, Usman Khawaja, who apparently, according to the selectors, is not within the 16 best batsmen in the country, because he wasn't picked for the now-cancelled South African series or the New Zealand series. He notched his 30th first-class ton against Tasmania last week, a match-winning, magnificent 150 not out, his second ton of the season, to chase down a fourth-innings target of 310. He had ample help from Martin Slavishane, and Joe Burns set up Queensland with a brilliant 171 not out in their first innings. It was simply put a masterclass, and it really should get those selectors to take notice.
Absolutely. Sounds like Usman Khawaja can come in as the next opener, or he can even fill in that currently empty number 5 position, which we are talking about.
Well, hopefully that number 5 position isn't vacant for long, because Axe Test star and number 5, Travis Head, posted his highest first-class score of his career so far with a mammoth, nearly runnable 223 against Western Australia.
Wow.
For South Australia, he's the captain. Brilliant captain stock. This is his third 100 of the season, all of which were 150-plus scores. 150, 170-odd not out, and now a 223. Plus a 50 in there, sprinkled in for good measure. He's currently sitting pretty atop of the runs aggregate with 693 runs from 10 innings at an average of 77. Obviously, he was dropped after the second test of the Border Gavaskar series, having posted scores of 7, 38, and 17 in his 3 innings of the series. But his test average is less than a quarter of a run under 40, in other words, 39.75. And what people forget, and is the true tragedy, is that 2 innings prior to the India series, he hit a match-saving 114 against New Zealand, the number 1 ranked test side in the world at the time. He came out to bat with Australia at 4 for 216. So really, every chance of getting bundled out for under 300, yet he stood up when it mattered. In his highest test score of 161 against Sri Lanka, he came in at 3 for 28 in a day-night test. And along with Joe Burns and Curtis Patterson, who came and did the easy work towards the end, ensured Australia weren't humiliated. In his debut test, he batted 175 balls for a score of 72 across 2 days to help his team secure a brilliant draw in the UAE against Pakistan. That's that game where Usman Khawaja scored that mammoth ton and Tim Payne hit a 70-odd as well. He is a player who stands up when it matters, although many people don't think so. When the team's going easy, when the team's not even going easy, when the team's having a collapse, he comes in and stops the collapse. But then he gets out for 40, and that's what people are annoyed about. But he stops that collapse. He stops the team from being bowled out for 110. You know, he makes them be bowled out for 250. You know, he gives the team a bit of respect. He's a player who has been told he needs to change his technique and convert starts into big scores. He's a player who did what was asked of him and has proven he's a cut above first class level. Yet he's a player who was one of the first to go when things start to go wrong. In the 2019 Ashes, he was dropped for Mitch Marsh, who, to his credit, managed to take a fifer in that game he was dropped for. And in the recent India-Oz series, he was left out in favor of Matthew Wade, who threw his wicket away time after time after time after time. Cannot forget that. All those slog sweeps against Ashwin, sky straight up in the air. Oh my God. Oh my God.
That's weird. That's him. You have to fire the ball.
And Matthew Wade was only in the side so he could threaten batsmen with a broken rib while fielding a short leg. It was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Sure, Wade can offer to open the batting, but when he fails there, that's his fault. He wasn't doing a service to the team. It's the selector's job to service the team by selecting actual openers who are in form, like Marcus Harris, who was in the side. Wade was merely ensuring his own safety in the side. He could feel Cameron Green breathing down his neck because he hadn't passed 50 in 10 innings and someone had to go. Mark my words, Brusuk. Mark my words. Travis Head will make a comeback, finish his test career averaging 45 plus, and he will have captained Australia in a minimum of 15 tests. He has captained South Australia since he was 19, youngest captain in South Australian history. He's now 27. He's been doing the job for 8 years. There's a wealth of captaincy experience. He just needs to be given a run in the side where he's not dropped the second things start to go pear-shaped.
I'm pretty sure about that. The numbers don't lie, as we say, and everything seems to be in favor of him. I hope the selectors are as well. Now, I think we have looked enough at the batting, a lot of much in detail. But what are the bowling scenarios in the tournament right now?
Not really much to talk about on the bowling scenarios. Recently, the most of the pitches have been flat, 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 flat.
Somewhere.
They've been roads, you know. A lot of draws this season so far, but Nathan Lyon managed to take 10 for 78 in New South Wales' failed first clash against Victoria. That's his best first class figures. In that same fixture, though, Mitch Stark, Slavic cricket brethren, stalwart, failed to make an impact. He finished with match figures of 1 for 104. From 22 overs, so going up fives and over. No, Hazelwood, much of the same, taking 1 for 72 in Victoria's unexpected 4-wicket win against what was essentially Australia's test bowling lineup.
Saving anything for the Ashes, then.
He's saving his energy for the Ashes. Yeah. Some notable mentions from the Shield recently are Joe Burns, like I said, 171 not out against Tasmania for Queensland. Caleb Jewell, 140. For Tasmania against Queensland. Bancroft scored 126 against South Australia. Obviously, Cameron Bancroft. Moises Enriquez, he scored 141, and he's pushing for that number five spot as well. I believe that's also his third ton of the year, spent the entire summer on the bench in the test squad. Cameron Green, current test number six, hit a mammoth 168 not out. Just looks so gorgeous when he's batting. Harry Conway on the bowling front took 6 for 39 as well.
Wow, so a lot of bowling performances as well. But you mentioned that the competition is at the halfway mark right now. How is it poised?
Well, Tasmania and South Australia are currently winless in their campaign. That is not a huge surprise. South Australia has won 2 games, I believe, in their last 2.5 years of Sheffield Shield cricket. So not many at all. They're pretty much out of the race already. Victoria and Western Australia still have a hope of making the final at the beginning of April. But really, the two dominant sides who are sitting at first and second on the ladder, respectively, are Queensland and New South Wales. Well, that's all we have time for today. Make sure you catch us again early next week for our fourth test preview. Leave us some questions on Twitter or Instagram, or an email at thethirdinnings@gmail.com. Make sure to leave us a rating and review on the podcast platform that you are listening on. My name has been Maxwell Charlesworth. Alongside me has been Prasuk Jain, and we will see you very soon.
Thank you.